who he is. And he looks at us and he comes down to us and he blesses us and he shapes us and he molds us so we can be who we are. That's a good God. It's a God of grace and mercy and favor. And it doesn't matter where you are, where you find yourself, or how bad you've been, or how far you've been. I want to tell you, God is perfect in his love, and all he wants is to love you and embrace you and lift you up and hold you up with his powerful arms. Because that's who he is. He's a good God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Oh, what a powerful song. Thank you for being who you are. Holy and perfect, full of mercy, grace. Thank you for these folks here. They chose to show up to church today. Didn't have to, but they drove here because you wanted them to. This is a divine time, a divine appointment. And so we ask you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, as we look into your word, you said you would honor your word. Your word will never return to you void. So we make that claim. And we ask you, God, you push me out of the way and help us get in line with your thoughts, with your ways, that we may experience the most amazing life we've ever had. God, we pray you show up here. You're already here. And deal deep in our hearts. We ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. If you have your Bibles, we are going to be looking into the Song of Solomon. Some of your Bibles call it the Song of Songs. I've always understood it as the Song of Solomon when I got saved. This is in your Bibles, this is past Psalms and past Proverbs, and then there's this amazing book called Ecclesiastes, and then you get to Song of Solomon. We want to talk about love for a lifetime. Sandhill cranes are awesome birds. Just love them. You know, I forgot, I was going to try to bring a recorder of the sandhill crane. You know, it sounds prehistoric as they're flying around. It's like, well, actually, it don't sound anything like that. I just can't make that sound, okay? And they're special birds here in Florida. They're protected, man. I hear they're eaten somewhere else, but here in Florida, we protect our sandhill cranes. And one special feature about sandhill cranes that God has embedded into these birds is that they mate for life. They have one mate and they are together forever. When sandhill cranes, I was reading, are looking for a mate, they see a prospective bride or husband. They begin to make their own ritual dance. They bob their heads. They move their necks. They jump. They run. They flap their wings. And if there is a sandhill crane looking for love and sees that, that sandhill crane is going to think, that's some pretty nice head bobbing. that's some pretty nice flapping. And they get together, and they can stay together for 20 years, I was reading, or as long as the sandhill cranes live. For your notes, if you like to take notes, I'm going to fill in the blanks for you. The first blank goes with the word lifetime. God designed marriage to last a lifetime. A man and a woman will court and date. We don't do any flapping. We don't do any head bobbing. But we want to impress the other individual. Like when I met Doreen in the middle of a football field. She was a majorette. I was instantly hooked, man. Her blue eyes, her figure, her Kirby figure, and her major outfit, I was like, ay, mama. I liked her. She took me in. And I told her, I said, hey, I'm a student at UCF, and I am a running back for UCF. I lied. I confessed it. Just want you to know, I confessed this. I'm just trying to impress the girl. And we started dating for 3.5 years. And she's been my bride now for the last 41 years. It's been absolutely an incredible journey. God's blessed me with that girl. And we have each other. And you know, when couples are dating, they feel like they are the luckiest people in the world. The luckiest man, the luckiest girl, because they have each other. But what happens to a lot of relationships is that they begin to slack off on the excitement of being with each other. And they begin to take each other for granted. And the excitement wears off. And in many relationships, what used to be floating hearts coming out of the eyes become sharp daggers that can hurt. For your notes, I want you to write this down. What was once beautiful can easily spoil. I was talking to my youngest daughter, Sarah. She told me this illustration. It has to do with reheats. Anybody here love eating reheats? One person. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, or two. Two cats. Oh, three. Yeah. Yeah. We love reheats. Oh, four. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. One more. Yeah. 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 You go to a restaurant and you get a doggy bag. Is that politically correct to say doggy bag? I don't know if they even say doggy bags at the restaurant anymore. Oh, is that called take home now? Okay. All right. So you take it home or you cook something really special and you have something left and you put it in the refrigerator. Have you ever forgotten that you have something in the refrigerator? Yeah. And then one day, you find a container deep in the refrigerator somewhere, and you're afraid to open it up. Because you don't know what's in there. And you're like, I wonder what this is. But you open it up, and it's covered in a layer of mold. And you're like, oh man, it's not cool at all. It happens in relationships. That sometimes there are unresolved disagreements that are eating a person inside. Sometimes somebody says something that hurts the other person and is eating them up. They keep it inside. Couples get into a meaningless routine sometimes. And there's very little laughter anymore. And not a lot of good times. Not a lot of fun times. There's a lot of sometimes selfishness that happens. It just messes up their relationship. And there's little communication. And I think we need to be careful, y'all. We need to be careful. Because it's really easy to spoil a good thing God has created. Really? So for your notes, I want you to write these two words in your blank or these two things in your writing. Thriving relationships, write the word thriving because that's what God wants out of every relationship, okay? Whether it be a good friendship or a sibling or even a marriage, right? Thriving relationships require 24/7 attention. 24/7. Last week, we started a series that I'm calling Making Marriage Great Again. And we talked about the five love languages, right? We talked about the five love languages, and I forgot to give you a website where you can go take a quiz, a free quiz, to find out what is your love language. And you can give it to your mate to find out what their love language is. And that is found in your notes. It's not on the screen, but it there should be there. And if I forgot to put it, it should be www.5lovelanguages.com. You go to www.5lovelanguages.com and you can take a free quiz there that help you identify what your love language is. And that's from last week, but let's get to today. I want to continue sharing on improving communication. So I'm going to give you three simple thoughts and that God put in my mind to remind you of. Number one, and these are things that you and I know from a long time, but as time goes by, we forget to put them to practice. Number one, I want you to write this down. Praise and compliment. Praise and compliment the other person often. This works as a leadership principle as well. This works in relationship, but also in marriage. Praise and compliment the other person. Tell the person not only how much you love them, but also encourage them and praise them. And I find that in the book of Song of Solomon. This is Solomon writing about a girl that he's in serious love with. And so you have a dialogue going on here between the guy and the girl, okay? And in Song of Solomon chapter 1, verse 10, chapter 1 and verse 10, he gives us an example of praise and compliment. So check it out. Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 10. How lovely, he says to her, are your cheeks, your earrings, set them afire. In his mind, this girl is on fire. But he says, oh, your lovely cheeks, your earrings, set on fire. How lovely is your neck, enhanced by a string of jewels. Now, you see what he's doing here. He's not praising the jewelry. He's not talking about the bling. He's talking about how the bling complements and accentuates the natural beauty of the girl that he loves. That's why he says, oh man, I love your cheeks. I love your neck. And when you put all that bling together, man, it just sets your face on fire. That's what he's doing. He's just praising the girl. He's complimenting the girl so she knows how beautiful she is. And then he lays it on thicker in verse 15. How beautiful you are, he says to her, my darling. How beautiful your eyes are like doves. To use an analogy of spring training, because spring training has begun. Oh, yeah. This guy, Solomon, is throwing some serious heat on this girl. Catching her by, whoa. As he tells her, oh man, your eyes. But what she does then, she turns it around and compliments him. So you see, in a relationship, there's got to be both sides, right? You compliment, but then the other compliment. Now, this is what we're seeing here. The man says to her, oh, your neck, your cheeks, your eyes, hey, I'm just melting. Then she turns around and says to him, you are so handsome, my love, pleasing beyond words. To put it in our terminology, she's saying, you're a hunk. And you got the big guns, bro. Otherwise, just little water pistols, but you are the man. That's all she's saying. She's absolutely just telling him how awesome he is. And when we men, ladies, when we men hear how awesome we are, it pumps us up. You understand? Because for your notes, research shows that men grow their self-worth through manliness and accomplishments. So if you're married, your man grows his self-worth through his own manliness and accomplishments. So to go retro here, you never want to call your man a Pee Wee Herman. You don't want to say, you remind me of Pee Wee Herman. That would be a killer. That'd be a dagger. Deep in the heart. And you know, guys, then they also have to use the same mentality. So the women, they cannot be questioning the manliness, but just lifting up the manliness and the accomplishment. And the man would be wise to be saying about his woman, man, you're so smart. And you work so hard and you keep the house so clean. And you're so beautiful, and you do such a great job with the kids. And when she hears things like that, it's like she's hitting the jackpot. Ding, 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 ding. And here's why, for your notes. Women, according to research, build their self-worth through their looks and their intelligence. So you never want to say, guys, to your wife, you're a dumb blonde. Now, you may not be married to a blonde, but I'm just saying that was just a... Because women build their self-worth through how they feel about their looks and their intelligence. Proverbs 16:24, the wise man is writing, Solomon, and he says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the taste and good for your health. In fact, literally, it means healing to the bones. So kind words, thoughtful words, for your notes, are nutritious and beneficial to a relationship. Are you with me? Can you say amen if you are? All right. We're not talking about mushy things here. We're talking about real solid stuff. Somebody said, courtship begins when a man whispers sweet nothings and it ends when he says nothing sweet. Dr. Paul Tournier said these words, listen to the conversations of our world between nations as well as those between couples. They are, for the most part, dialogues of the deaf. For your notes, write the words insensitive in the first blank and thoughtless in the second blank. Insensitive words. I'm thinking, you know, critical, in a relationship, mean, rude. And thoughtless words could be selfish or, you know, hurtful, baseless accusations, whatever it is. Those kinds of things kill a marriage. Insensitivity, thoughtlessness. So in the Book of Song of Solomon, the reason why the exchange flows naturally is because they're listening to each other and what the other person is about. So here's an example, okay? Song of Songs chapter 2, verse 1. Song of Songs or Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 1. Here's a girl speaking. I'm just a wildflower picked from the plains of Sharon. In other words, she's saying, I'm really just a nobody. I'm just like nothing special. I'm just one among many, man. That's all she's saying, okay? And I know some ladies who feel like I'm just one among many. There's nothing special about me. But then he takes what she said. He's listening to her. And look at how he responds to her. Okay? He says to her in verse 2, my darling, when compared with other young women, you're a lily among thorns. Oh, hello. All of a sudden she perked up. Because thorns are prickly. Thorns are not pretty. And she's saying, I'm not pretty, bro. But he takes it and says, oh, no. You're way off base here. The other girls are like ugly thorns, man. You're beautiful. I understand. We can laugh at some of these things. I understand life is hard. And there's so many complexities in relationships. And sometimes there's not much to smile about. Can I hear an amen? Okay, that was really sad. Am I the only one here? Can I hear an amen about that? Sometimes there's nothing to smile about, y'all. They don't get all righteous on me, all right? Sometimes there's nothing to smile about. Many concerns for your nose. This is something that God put in my heart to share. Many concerns can make a person want to shut down. Many concerns, you just want to shut down. The Proverbs, man, the Bible is so relevant. It's just so practical. It says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So when you speak to your mate or to your person that you love, your friend, whoever, use compliments and use praise because respect and admiration lights people up inside. Y'all with me so far? Everybody with me so far? Number two. So to make marriage great again, I want to just praise and compliment my sweetheart sitting back there. That's what I want to do. I gotta do that. I wanna praise her and I wanna compliment her. Not necessarily the clothes she's wearing, the clothes she wears accentuate her beauty. Number two. Show your love by your actions. Show your love by your actions. Folks, I want to tell you, words are cheap, right? Ain't that what they say around here in the English language? Words are cheap. Show your love by your actions. Do what you can for that person you're with. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples these amazing words. Whoever wants to be great among you, listen, y'all. Whoever wants to be great among you has got to be your servant. I don't know about you. I want to be great. I want to be great in anything and everything I do. Whether it be my marriage, as a pastor, as a friend to y'all, and as an author. I want to be great, okay? But the only way to be great is for me to become a servant. A servant to her in my marriage, a servant to my girls, because they are my girls, a servant to the people they love, a servant to you people. Be a servant in every way. Show your love for Christ. And as you become a servant to others, you know what happens? It changes you inside. It'll affect the other person, but it changes you. I heard a story of a guy who got tired of his wife after some years. And he started looking for ways to make her miserable. He just wanted out. So he went to a divorce lawyer and drew the papers. And then before the papers were given to her, he went to see a psychologist friend of his. And he said to him, I can't stand the girl anymore. I want to make her life as horrible as possible. How do I do that? The psychologist, you know, being the way they think, or psychiatrist, whoever it was, he said, I'll tell you what you do. You go home tonight and you do exactly what I tell you. He said, I want you to go home and I want you to turn things around 180 degrees. And I want you to treat your wife, beginning tonight, as if she was a goddess. He said, I want you to listen. Your mission is to dedicate yourself to her deepest pleasure. He said, I want you to listen to her intently and understand what she's feeling and what she's needing, and you meet her needs. And so he said to her, if you're at home and you see her working, jump up and outwork her. Take her to the movies. Go out to eat, not to some dump somewhere. Take her to a nice place. He said, you are going to treat this girl as if she was a goddess. He said, okay, I got that, then what? Then he said, then, 2 months later, when she is on cloud nine, you say to her, I'm leaving you. Pack your bags, get out, or I'm out of here. And the man said, that's ruthless. I love it. And so for the next 2 months, the man began to treat his wife as a goddess. In fact, he went above and beyond. He began to bring her flowers for no reason at all. He'll say, let's go to the movies. He'd bring her breakfast in bed. He'd take her to gourmet restaurants. Sometimes He would read her favorite novel out loud while she rested on his lap, and she'd go to sleep on him while he's reading her favorite novel. He did everything in the world he could. He listened to her. And she fell head over heels over this guy. And when the 2 months were done, she was so convinced. He was the most attentive, amazing, caring, interested person in the world. The psychiatrist called the man and said, "How did the divorce go? How's your single life now? When did you file for divorce?" He said, "Divorce? Why would I file for divorce when I'm married to a goddess?" She changed him. And that's what you and I have to do with our relationships. Not about you. It's about the other person. See, you can't control the other person. You can control what you can do. And what you can do and what I can do is to become a servant to the people I care about. For your notes, write this down. Real love is sacrificial and gives unconditionally. You say, "You don't know who I'm married to." Don't matter. You say, wait a minute, why would I serve anybody? I'm going to tell you why. And I want you to write this scripture, this side note of your notes, because I don't have it on the screen, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says these words: "Be imitators of God." That's what he says. Imitate God. Now, what is God like? Jesus showed us. And what I'm going to share with you from the book of Philippians is something that Paul wrote, but I'm using a different translation that I don't often use. It's the International Children's Bible, okay? The International Children's Bible. This is how they put what God is like, okay? Christ himself was like God in everything. He was equal with God. But he did not think that being equal with God was something to be held on to. He gave up his place with God and made himself nothing. He was born as a man and became like a servant. And then when Jesus roamed the earth, in the book of John chapter 15, he said, "There is no greater love than that of one laying down his life for his friends." Now, I want you to grab this here, y'all, because what the Bible is telling us is that God stepped out of heaven, left his throne in heaven to come be with us. And when Jesus dealt with us, guess what? We were mean. We were wrong to him. Talking about mankind now. We were sinful, we were unjust, we were evil. And yet Jesus said, "The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." And here you have God stepping out of his comfort zone to become a servant of the very people that killed his son. And here's what I'm thinking. If this is for me too, okay? If Jesus Christ was willing to leave and do all these things and go all the way to the cross and be killed and crucified, right? I mean, buried. If he was willing to do all of that, then what keeps me from being a servant when God is a servant to me, to people like me? We need to think, if the Lord is like that, and the Bible tells us to imitate him, then Lord God Almighty, help me be a servant. You know, some of us are always thinking about the other person, right? So when you love, you gotta love like Jesus. No strings attached. Somebody will say, well, okay, I'll try, but first he's got to do this. No. You may say, okay, I'm going to serve him, but listen, he's got to, no, stop. It's not what the Bible says here. You serve and let God take care of the rest. Something else about God that we can't imitate, okay? Something else about God that we can't imitate. God, the Bible says, is a giver. You can look it up. There's so many scriptures about it. He gives, and he gives, and he gives again. So I challenge you. You want to make your marriage great again? Be a giver. Be a giver. Not just compliment and praise, and not only serve, you be a giver. Now remember, I'm talking to everybody here in a relationship, both sides, right? Number three, it's not a long sermon. Somebody say amen. Yeah, don't have to be that seriously, amen. It's about the biggest amen I've gotten in the last few weeks. Something wrong with that. Number three, have a good understanding. Have a good understanding of your mate. You want to make your marriage great again? Have a good understanding of your mate. The New American Standard Bible of 1995 puts this scripture this way. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is... acquire wisdom. And with all you're acquiring, get understanding. And all I'm saying is know your mate. Get to know your mate. Understand who she is, what she's all about, what he's all about, who he is. Everybody's different, right? So refuse to compare people. Oh, I wish my husband was like that other guy that I know, so nice and so wonderful. Oh, I wish my wife looked like that other girl over there, and she's always like that. No, don't refuse the comparison game. Because we're all unique. God made us all unique and different. Many years ago, I read a real cool story that I think I may have shared with you before. Real cool story. It happened in a preschool. The teachers started playing a make-believe game. Okay, she said, we're all going to be either giants, dwarves, or wizards. And then she said, all the giants... I want you to form a group over there on that corner. And they had a leader over there. And all the dwarves, I want you to form a group over there. All the dwarves. And then all the wizards are going to be on this side. You're going to make a group over there. She said, now go. Oh, the kids were crazy. They wanted to be giants, dwarves, wizards. Everybody. Except for one little girl who didn't move. She went to the teacher and she said, where do the mermaids go? She wasn't a giant. She wasn't a dwarf. She wasn't a wizard. She's a mermaid. And the wise teacher said, well, little mermaids belong next to the king of the sea, which was the teacher. And in this story, the king of the sea and the mermaid went and inspected the giants, the wizards, and the dwarves. You may not be a giant, a dwarf, or a wizard, but you are you, who God made you to be. Be proud of that. And in a relationship, make sure that you understand who your mate is. And whoever that person is, nurture it. Lift that person up. You know, I go across the Ogali Bridge often, every day almost. And between the Indian River and the Banana River, Indian River Lagoon and the Banana River, a small sailboat sank. It's always boats sinking here and there, and you could just see just a little bitty part of the mast coming out of the water. But it seems like, now I'm not an expert on this, so I don't know, but it seems like they're trying to lift up that boat that sank using these air floats. They have them around the sailboat, and it seems like every day that I pass by, there's a little bit more visible of that mast, so that now you can see most of the mast, and I think they're coming close to the edge of the water. I may be totally wrong on this, but I think that's what they're doing. But I want to tell you, I may be wrong about all of this, but this is what I know for sure, and that is that there's a lot of marriages and relationships that are sinking fast. And they need to be lifted up. And it may take you to start making that happen. The Bible says that the Lord reached out to us and lifted us out the mud and the mire and made us stand on solid ground. God lifted us up wherever you were in your sin. When you heard about Jesus, you understood him because God opened your eyes. And you went to him and you said, Lord, I if you're like me, I have a lot of questions. I don't understand any of this stuff that you all are talking about in church. But I need you to lift me up because my life is spinning, going over. You know what happened? Jesus reached down. Said, hey, I hear ya. Come on. Lifted me up. I'm not sure, y'all, but God put this message in my heart. But I do know that we need to work hard at making those relationships work. Amen? That's what God wanted me to say. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for Jesus. He went all the way so that we could enjoy a life, or have the opportunity to enjoy a life that is purposeful, such deep joy, hope of heaven, satisfaction. Jesus was willing to come all the way down among us and served mankind so that we could be free. Maybe you're watching me on Facebook and you haven't experienced that freedom. Maybe you're watching me on Facebook and maybe your relationship, your marriage is sinking. You need Jesus. Maybe there's someone here who needs Jesus. If you'd like to ask Jesus in your heart, hear me out now, wherever you are watching this. If you're needing a Savior, I want you to ask Jesus Christ something like this. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. I have a lot of questions. But thank you for becoming a servant and going all the way to die. And thank you for resurrecting from the dead and being back to life again. Lord God, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. I ask you right now to come inside my heart. Be my Savior. And I commit my life to you. If you pray that prayer, watching me on Facebook, right? If you pray that prayer, I want to tell you, God already started a miracle in your life. If anyone here, you say, I just asked Jesus in my heart for the first time. Anybody here, just raise your hand. You say, I just prayed to ask Jesus in my heart. Anybody here? You just got saved. Hi. Father, I thank you. I thank you for our relationships. They are the juice of life, man. I thank you for our marriages, God. Thank you for our friends, for our families. Oh, God Almighty, give us wisdom and understanding. And help us have the inner strength to serve, even though sometimes we don't feel like serving. And help us use words that are delightful and lifting and soothing and healing. And I pray for this relationship that are represented here and the marriages that are represented here, God. I just ask you in the name of your son, Jesus, God, that you would just put an extra unction of a blessing on everyone that's listening. Thank you for the Bible and giving us this amazing instruction from the Word of God. We love you with all our hearts, God. Thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you so much for listening and taking notes and paying attention. Like I shared with you earlier,